Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Monday, December 4th. I'm Ray Graff. Support for Medical Monday comes from Hudson Dental Arts, a multi-specialty practice now partnered with Invisalign, helping patients smile with confidence. HudsonDentist.com. Joining us for Medical Monday is Dr. Hida Nuremberg of New Vance Health. She's here to discuss headaches and neurology. One of the things she wants to focus on today is migraine triggers and holiday stress. Oh, it's a headache time of year. Also joining us is headache medicine fellow, Dr. Kirthana Kumar. If you have a headache question, if you have a headache, give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551 or email voxpop@wamc.org. We begin right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Medical Monday, and here to discuss headaches is Dr. Hida Nuremberg of New Vance Health. Dr. Nuremberg is Director of Headache Medicine at New Vance. She's the Associate Program Director of the Neurology Residency Program and the Director of the Headache Fellowship Program, which we'll hear more about soon. Dr. Nuremberg is double board certified in neurology and headache medicine and is at the forefront of migraine treatment, including advances with infusion therapy and electroceuticals and other types of non-medication options to treat migraines. Also joining us today is headache medicine fellow Dr. Kirthana Kumar. If you'd like to be a part of our conversation today, give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551 if you have a headache question that has been nagging you. Or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Dr. Hida Nuremberg, welcome back. Happy holidays.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me back.
So great to have you on the show, and you brought a friend. Now, the last time you were on, you talked about this fellowship. And now I see another doctor here, Dr. Kirthana Kumar, who is the headache medicine fellow. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Is it tough working with Dr. Nuremberg?
No, it's a privilege.
Okay, so you are a full doc. What do you hope to learn from this fellowship?
How to accurately and efficiently diagnose and treat headache patients.
Is it mysterious to some extent?
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't, if you're not familiar with certain illnesses and like treatments, it can absolutely be.
Have you seen the book? Hida brought the book one time, and it was huge. All the headache definitions. How many are there again?
Over 200.
Over 200 different types of headaches. You know, I was talking before the show, Dr. Nuremberg, and asked you. I said, "Do you see more people at holiday times?" Because it seems like so many people are stressed, but it's really not the case.
No, I see the amount of same incidence of headache patients throughout the year because migraines are very prevalent. And I don't just see migraines, as you're aware. I see all kinds of different headaches. As the book says, over 200 headaches. But some people are prone to get more headaches with stress or arranging family meals and all that. And I counsel a lot of my patients to just take it easy.
Why does stress do that? What is the physiological reason that I'm stressed out, now I have a headache? Why does that happen?
Probably because of the chemical rush in the brain. When people get stressed, you get fight or flight response in the brain, and all those chemicals are involved in the pathophysiology of migraine.
Is migraine a seasonal? Let me put this a different way. Will you see more migraines in certain seasons, spring, winter, summer?
Depends. Other types of headaches can have a seasonal pattern. Migraines, some patients tend to have allergies can trigger it. So in the spring, we'll see more headaches. But for me, it's very consistent because I see all kinds of patterns of headaches.
The number here is 800-348-2551. It's Headaches at Migraines Today with Dr. Hida Nuremberg and Dr. Kirthana Kumar. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Let's grab a couple of emails here early, and feel free to jump in, Dr. Kumar. If you think Dr. Nuremberg's wrong about anything, just jump right in. This one is from Joel. Our headaches are not of the migraine variety, but rather of the not enough sleep, dull throbbing genre. Being on a blood thinner, we are reluctant to take any medication for the problem. What regimen would you recommend to alleviate the headache without conflicting with the Eliquis?
I like Dr. Kerma takes this one.
Okay. Are you taking notes?
I need a few more details, but he thinks it's sounds like it might be a general tension headache. And it really depends. Like, I wouldn't really recommend NSAIDs, like ibuprofen or things like that if he's on a blood thinner, but Tylenol would be safe to take based on what he said. But again, we need a lot more details.
And the other thing I would say, if they're happening very frequent, so if they're happening more than 4 days per month, the person probably needs a preventive medication, because if you tend to take too much of rescue medicines, it can cause more headaches. Sometimes there are natural supplements. I know we talked about these in the past that can help prevent migraines and headaches that have evidence.
Refresh my memory what those medications or non-medications are.
So magnesium is a supplement that stabilizes receptors in the brain, and it helps for headache prevention.
Hmm. Do people get enough magnesium generally?
Usually in the diet they do, but with headaches you need a little bit extra to help.
So if someone comes to you both and says, hey, I have these migraines, do you first order a blood workup and see if they're deficient in anything?
Not necessarily. Sometimes I check for autoimmune markers, because sometimes headaches can present can be related to autoimmune conditions. I check for one vitamin that is involved in a lot of neurological processes, like vitamin B12. So it can present, if it's very low, it can present with a lot of neurological problems. Sometimes thyroid disease can present with headaches.
Why B12? What does B12 specifically do?
It's involved in pathways in the brain. So sometimes it can be a cause of neuropathy.
Mm. Okay. Number here is 800-348-2551. Couple more emails here, and then we will go to the phones. This one is from Fran. Although I get them very infrequently now, I used to get migraines that were totally debilitating. I always wound up with the piercing headache and then begin to shake. My bowels would completely empty, and then I would vomit. I couldn't take any oral medication because I would vomit it right back up. I have been mostly free of them for a long time, but occasionally I'll get one. The only medication that seems to work is called Sozomig, a nasal spray. Can you speak of these and why a middle-aged woman would be stricken, thankfully now, only one or two times a year? And that's from Fran.
So migraines and hormones, they go hand in hand in women. So before puberty, migraines are more common in boys. After, they double in women. So definitely there is a consistent, there's a thought that the drops in estrogen can lead to migraines. 50% of women, they get better after menopause. I can't promise they'll go away, but 50% of women get better after menopause. So that medication is mentioned. It's one of the main classes of acute treatments for migraine. It's called the triptans. They act on serotonin receptors, keeping higher serotonin. That's how they decrease pain. Patients that have migraines, they need some migraine-specific rescue medication, because over-the-counter medications are not as effective. And the idea is to be pain-free within 2 hours. And we have different formulations. There are medications that are injectables, sublingual tablets, nasal sprays.
Migraines, it's big business. Headaches in general, mm-hmm. over-the-counter especially. But migraines are big business for the pharmaceutical industry. How many good, and don't mention names, we don't want to get sued, but how many good options are there out there for oral medication?
So there are over, in recent count, I would say over 15 good medications. And we've gotten better with the treatments. So before, 30 years ago, the only class of migraine treatments were the triptans and ergotamines. Now we have another class called the gepants, another class called ditans. So we have more migraine-specific rescue medications.
How do you know what's right for each patient?
It depends. Triptans are contraindicated if people have cardiac disease, because they can cause artery constriction, or patients that had strokes or heart attacks or poorly controlled high blood pressure. So the new class, the gepants, are great, and there's now 3 rescue medications in that class. There's another one, ditans. There's only one medication that it can work, because it doesn't cause artery constriction, but it causes extreme sedation. So it depends on the patient, how severe. So if somebody has migraines that cause severe vomiting, which is very common, then I would want something that has an alternate route of delivery.
We had a question last week about visual migraines, mm-hmm. and I'm sure they will come up again, but they seem very mysterious, especially mm-hmm. when not connected to actual headaches. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's grab another couple of emails, and then we'll take a break. 800-348-2551 if you want to get in the queue to talk to Dr. Nierenberg and Dr. Kumar. quickly, Dr. Kumar, why did you choose this specialty?
Headaches are so common. They're so prevalent. About 1 in 8 women globally suffer from migraine headaches, and they can be really debilitating. It's a silent disease. I did my residency at the University of Kentucky, and in Kentucky, addiction was a huge problem too. So finding alternative routes for treatments of pain condition was also something that I thought would be really rewarding.
Did you suffer headaches as a youngster, and that's maybe spurred this a little bit?
I personally did not, but I saw a lot of patients during residency and medical school that did, and that really inspired me.
All right, let's go to our email bag for one or two more here, and then we'll hit the phones. 800-348-2551. Headaches and migraines today with Dr. Hita Nirenberg and Dr. Kirthana Kumar, both of New Vance Health. This one's from Peter in Barrieville. I'm in my 70s, and I've never had a headache in my life, and I mean never. Why is this? My wife gets them regularly. Maybe some people get them, and some people give them. That's from Peter. All right, what do you think about that?
I think he's very lucky. So there are genetic components to migraines. That is being lucky.
Yeah.
He probably doesn't have the genes involving headache, which headache scientists haven't figure out which genes are involving migraines, but they have theories of particular genes. But
you know, Peter's wife must occasionally say, you know, could you just get one once in a while? All right, one more email and then we'll take a break. This one is from Ashley. Do you know anything about ocular migraines? I started having them when pregnant about 10 years ago. Now I get them only sporadically. I get the visual auras that sometimes come before a migraine, but no actual migraine after. Any idea why these happen? And that's from Ashley.
So as you were mentioning before, very mysterious headache.
Yeah.
So a migraine aura, the migraine signal starts in the visual cortex, in the area of the brain that controls vision. The thought is about migraine about to happen. And some people have it without headaches. Usually it's the one that is tougher to treat, but not impossible. There are some medications that can be used. Magnesium helps prevent them. And one of the seizure medications, lamotrigine, they have found evidence that it could work.
But we're still not exactly sure why they pop up, and sometimes without a headache.
It's similar to the other migraine triggers. It will be, but some patients, they can pinpoint. A lot of migraines come with no rhyme or reason.
You know, we've heard this before from many people that, oh, yeah, I got visual migraines when pregnant. So there's some sort of link there?
It could. Migraines get better in pregnancy in 75% of women. When a patient has this phenomenon under pregnancy, then we worry about secondary causes. So we check MRIs to make sure there's nothing happening in the brain that can cause it. We look at the arteries and the veins, because during pregnancy, clots can happen or other things that will present with these symptoms.
Let's take a quick break here. Dr. Hita Nirenberg and Dr. Kirthana Kumar join us today. It's headaches and migraines. 800-348-2551 is our number. We'll hit the phones in a moment. Vox Pop, it's a Medical Monday. Ray Graff with you. 800-348-2551 is the number. Dr. Hita Nirenberg of New Vance Health joins us today. And also with us is New Vance's headache medicine fellow, Dr. Kirthana Kumar. If you have a question about headaches or migraines, call now. And let's start in Wappingers Falls. Harriet, you're on.
Hi. About 6 or 8 years ago, I had shingles on the left side of my face, and it was in my brain as well. I couldn't do anything. I felt like I was having lightning strikes in my head is the best way I could describe it. And I just had to kind of lay on the couch and watch a lot of TV until it, passed. And I'm just wondering, should I be aware of any potential future ramifications, that sort of thing?
Hi, good afternoon. Hi. Shingles in the face kind of affects the trigeminal nerve, which is the main nerve involving headaches and facial pain. I wouldn't be, if it resolved and you don't have pain, I wouldn't be too worried about. Sometimes people present with what we call postherpetic neuralgia, so severe lancinating pain in the location of the pain. And depending on how long it lasts, We treat with medicines, not forever, but if a lot of times shingles is one of those that is one and done and it resolves. I have patients that still have the porcepeptic neuralgia for a year after.
So it's pretty common. What Harriet describes is a fairly common thing with shingles?
Yes.
Wow. Yep. Harriet, you want to follow up?
I did, you know, after the fact, I did get my shingles vaccinations. And, you know, sometimes I feel like I have a dull headache on the left side of my brain. But, you know, again, I wonder if I'm just projecting. Do you know what I mean?
I would say, like, if it still persists, I will go get checked. I tend not to be a fan of getting unnecessary scans. But if it persists, it's good to check the brain and get an MRI. But if it persists.
All right. Harriet, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. Joined today by Dr. Hita Nirenberg and Dr. Kirthana Kumar from New Vance Health. To Stone Ridge we go. Patty, you're on.
Yes, hi. I'm calling to find out if there's anything can be done to help my sister, whose migraines seem to be related to barometric pressure. She's like the weatherman. She can tell us exactly when it's going to snow, when it's going to rain, and it's always doing one or the other.
Before the doctors start, what's it going to do tomorrow?
She's had a migraine right now.
Oh, so gosh. Oh, that's
probably
bad.
Probably snow wet snow. And when it's wet, it's worse.
Let's hand it over to the professional.
And she's so accurate.
I have Dr. Kumar.
Hi, Patty.
In pain.
So depending on a lot of things, like how frequently she gets them, as Dr. Nirenberg mentioned earlier.
Well, it's all the time. It's like weather. It's always raining, snowing. It's summertime, wintertime, all year round. She takes Advil. She takes B12. She tries caffeine in the morning. She tries to just lay there and be quiet. And if mild, it's a nuisance. One Advil is bad.
Imitrex.
And 2 doses 2 hours later, it's not relieved.
So,
but my grandmother had the same thing. Is this inherited, or is there anything?
So yes, there is a genetic component to migraines.
There is a genetic component.
Right. Yeah, so they tend to run in families.
But it's barometric. My grandmother was also barometric.
It's
not stress.
It's one of the common triggers for migraines. We always tell patients, there must be barometric pressure sensors in their brain, but we will never know because we cannot experiment in people's brains. And this is a tough one to study in animals. But well, we will treat the way we treat any other migraines. If they're happening more than 4 days per month, you might need a preventive medication, something to decrease the frequency so that it don't happen, because there are some triggers that unfortunately we cannot control, like the barometric pressure we cannot control, but we're getting a lot of way of helping with either a prevention and a proper rescue medication, which there are a variety of rescue medications.
Well, takes the Imetrix. She does the Advil. I mean, what else can she do?
So that's Advil isn't a preventive medication, and if you take Advil more than too often, it can lead to more headaches.
Really?
Yeah.
No, she takes the other stuff when it's bad. How do you pronounce
more than 14 days a month, though, for Advil can lead to
Imetrex.
Supplements that can help. You mentioned B12, but like the supplements that have been that there's a lot
she
of evidence.
B12 too.
Well, magnesium supplementation, 400 milligrams a day, can help with prevention, as can coenzyme Q10.
All right.
Well, okay, it doesn't seem like there's an answer.
But she should probably be evaluated to find out what preventive medications are.
That's a great answer. Yeah. Get evaluated on this stuff. Thank you very much, Patty. We appreciate the call. All right, the barometric pressure thing, and you and I have talked about this, Hita, in the past, but I find it fascinating. Mm-hmm. Now, when a storm is coming, barometric pressure is lower. Mm-hmm. So what does that tell us? You said you thought there might be barometric pressure in your head, but think about it. When you get the bends, mm-hmm. right, the pressure is trying to get out. So here's my question. When there's a lot of high pressure, are there less headaches than when there are low pressure and weather-related, as Patty just mentioned, rain and things like that?
So it would be the more headaches with the rain and the weather. There's
more
headaches.
So that's low pressure. So maybe the pressure in your skull is trying to get out, and that's where the pain's coming from.
This would be people that are prone to getting migraines. So it's a very mysterious situation.
You know what? Don't rain on my parade. I think I figured this out. All right, let's go to Donna in Albany. Donna, you're on.
Hi, Hi, Ray. Hi, doctors.
Hi.
I just want to know if I'm a little confused now. I have relatives with debilitating migraines, and you are mentioning a medication called Imex, but my husband used to take Imitrex. It was an off-label use, and he swore by it. And then I'd like to know if you had any success with your patients or clients with the use of Elavil, which is a broad-spectrum antidepressant from 100 years ago. That's it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Donna.
Hi, Donna. So, like, the drug name for what you described, Elavil, is amitriptyline, and it has been used for a long time for the prevention of migraine headaches.
Now, for
the other one, Imitrex.
So sumatriptan, because we're not allowed to say brand name.
Well, you can say,
Imitrex. Yeah, so Imitrex, so that we treat migraines two ways. Something to take daily to prevent them. It's prescription,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, we treat migraines two ways. Something to prevent them. It would be something like the Elavil, and there are other classes of preventive medications. We start patients on preventive medications when they have more than 4 headache days per month, because the longer you wait to treat, it predisposes to chronic migraine. And then we have migraine-specific rescue medications. So Imitrex was the oldest, the first triptan that came out in the 90s. And when it first came out, it was a godsend for patients. But we only had that one back then, and then slowly more triptans came out, like there's somatriptan, amitriptan, elatriptan, and some patients, one doesn't work and others work, depends. No migraine patient is alike. There's variability because we're all different.
But that makes your job very difficult. If everybody's different, but everybody has the same pain.
It's a fun challenge, because I always say I have a plan that works for most patients, but then plan B, C, because not everybody's the same and there's different. But there's the good news in the past few years, we even have more options to how to treat migraines that are better for patients. Like before 2018, even for prevention, everything we used was off-label. So something that it was not meant to be for migraines. And now we have migraine-specific prevention medications that are just medications just for migraine.
Donna, you want to follow up?
Very good.
Okay.
Well, I think it's great if you can get a medication that can nail the headache and your depression at the same time. Thank you very much, folks, and take care.
Thanks for the call. Dr. Hita Nirenberg is here, and Dr. Kirthana Kumar, both of New Vance Health. It's headaches and migraines today. So this medicine that prevents migraines, bearing in mind, you know, do we know exactly what causes every migraine? How do you prevent them if you don't know what causes them?
I think we had this conversation, right? But
we probably, did. I'm a little senile, and that's a different show.
No, a lot of times, like migraines, there's multiple factors. So they can come, they can happen to anyone out of the blue. Sometimes there's genetic predisposition. Sometimes things like the weather, like somebody mentioned. We always, when the patients have first onset migraine, we check MRIs, pictures to make sure that there's not a secondary cause. But most migraines, it's a very sensitive pain signal. We don't see in the pictures, but the pain is very, very real.
So this preventative just dulls the pain sensors in advance, or am I wrong?
It makes it so they don't happen that often or in that frequent. So depending the old school medications, like something like the antidepressant, they found out that because serotonin is involved in migraine, and the involving serotonin decreases pain. And I know that the person, the caller mentioned, it helps the depression and migraines. And sometimes we make the decisions based on that. Like somebody, for example, beta blockers we use for migraine prevention. And I was just in the headache conference and hearing the history from one of my colleagues of how these medications came about. They said, the beta blockers came from a cardiology study that they were studying for angina, and then they found out the patients that have migraines were getting better.
So interesting.
Yeah.
And so up until recently, all of these things that you had used to prevent these migraines were off-label?
Yes.
And how did we've probably had this conversation, too. You've been on a lot of times. How do you know when things are used off-label, that this might work on migraines? This is made for a cardiac issue. How do you know? Who tests it? Who's the poor sap who has to test it?
So these all came from research centers, and now they all there's a lot of evidence of this, the older medications, the older classes, like seizure medications, antidepressants, blood pressure medications, and then beta blockers.
But the book we use, the International Classification of Headache Disorders, that's a book that's based on both evidence and expert opinion that recommends these treatment options.
So it's theoretically every few years there are revisions to this.
Yes.
All right, let's take another call or two here before the next break. 800-348-2551 is our number. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Headaches, migraines. We have two docs. Let's go to Rotterdam. Lisa, you're on.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hi, good.
Pretty good.
So I have two questions. I have had migraines since I was about 15. I can remember exactly when they started. So I've had them for years. I'm 41 now. They're getting more spaced out as I get older, which makes sense when you were talking about them being related to hormones. So my daughter, who is now, who will be 14 soon, is now starting to get the migraines much the same way that I did when I was about her age. The difference between us is, though, I get an aura, I guess that's what it's called, before I get the migraine. My vision gets funny. I can only describe it as kind of looks like static on TV in my peripheral vision. So I know when I see that, I have about 30 minutes and then I'm going to get a terrible headache. So I can, if I'm able to get to a quiet, dark place, lay down, I go to sleep, and when I wake up, it's usually a bit better. So my question is, like, why do I get the aura, and my daughter does not get that aura at all? She doesn't know when it's coming. And is there something I can do to help her with the migraines? Maybe the magnesium. What are your thoughts on that? Because she's kind of young.
Yeah. So yes, the auras, they're very unpredictable what happens for patients. My thought, because I see a lot of patients that they don't get the aura, eventually they get them. Hopefully this will not happen to her, but it might be at some point down the line that she might develop them. Usually the auras, the magnesium actually has evidence that it helps prevent auras for migraines. So when we have patients that have the aura without headache, the magnesium does help. Usually doses are 400 milligrams. For pediatrics, there is help for migraine treatments, but I think when I was a resident, I rotated in a pediatric headache clinic, and that's we started telling the kids start magnesium, the supplements, a lot of the lifestyle things that help migraine prevention is minimize screen time, which is tougher in the youth of today. Exercise, hydration, eat regular meals throughout the day. But if they are interfering with life and school, there's doctors, the pediatricians should be able to help. There are options for migraine treatments for peds.
Okay.
As well.
Peds, that means kids?
Yeah.
I like that. Doctor talk.
The doctor.
Lisa, you want to go again?
No, thank you. That was very helpful. I didn't actually know about the magnesium prior to listening to this. I wish I had known when I was a bit younger, so I am going to give that a try. Thank you so much.
And there is a good resource. The American Migraine Foundation website, everything we say is in there. So it's a good resource. They have local listings for doctors, for pediatrics, and all that. So
American Migraine Foundation. Okay.
So it's a good organization. So everything we say, it's in there.
Mm-hmm. Now, the visual migraines. Mm-hmm. They're not actually in the eye, right? Are they in the optical nerve? What's happening there?
It's more in the back of the brain, in the area than the visual cortex. So it's not in the eye, but people can see kaleidoscopes, like the staticky. We call it also visual snow. It's the other nerve. But it can be a range from tunnel vision. I like showing patients when I see it, this can happen at any time. Don't freak out if it's less than an hour and the migraine hits. Longer than that, we check. We send the patients to the hospitals to make sure there's not anything
brain
related. Rare causes of frequent auras are conditions that predispose to blood clots in the brain.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dr. Kumar, you want to add anything to that?
No, just they are unpredictable.
The number to call here is 800-348-2551. We'll take a quick break. Dr. Hita Nirenberg's here from Nuvance Health, and Nuvance Headache Medicine Fellow Dr. Kirthana Kumar joins us as well. We'll be back. Room Full of Blues. 800-348-2551. It's Medical Monday, and it's headaches today, migraines. And Dr. Hita Nirenberg is back with us from New Vance Health. And Dr. Kirthana Kumar, who is the headache medicine fellow there. And this is from Jennifer. We'll grab a couple emails and then go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. That's the number. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Jennifer writes, I've always had migraines, but since perimenopause has increased the number and severity of them. I have antiphospholipid syndrome as well, so birth control is not an option. I would rather go without a prescription. Anything else that I might consider as a preventative?
So antiphospholipid antibody syndrome that you described is like one of the autoimmune diseases. So she would need specific treatment, need evaluation to say for sure, but definitely magnesium can help with prevention of migraines for her.
There are also devices too that that are help for migraine prevention. So it's an unknown alternative, non-medication option. So that's an option, but definitely with that condition, I would just mention conditions that predispose to blood clots. That's one of them. You should get checked to make sure, especially if they're worsening after menopause.
Okay. Now, we've mentioned magnesium several times. I know that when women have had babies or are about to, they can get preeclampsia, and magnesium can be on a drip to help that post-birth. But when you're using this for headaches, is the oral medication enough, or do you need to go in every so often and have a drip?
No, the oral medication is not enough. Usually when people have status migrainosus, persistent migraine that lasts in days, we do use the IV form of magnesium.
Okay. Number here is 800-348-2551. Couple more emails and then back to the phones. This one's from Rosemary. I've been told before that I can't take oral birth control because I get visual migraines, which means I have an increased risk of stroke. Is this accurate? And will I be told I can't take hormone replacement therapy during menopause? That's from Rosemary.
It's very controversial topic. There's not enough research evidence. I was reviewing a talk that I did on this because there is the thought that higher visual aura predisposes to migraine. We always say progesterone only, lower estrogen. Some headache societies would say, no, it's impossible. Or the American Academy of Obstetricians has said no, and others, we don't know enough data. Mm. But there's not a lot of studies, and the evidence is very old, but it's a very controversial topic. I always say there are options now that are non-hormonal and depends on the patient. And
now, there is or there is not any connection, even tenuous, between migraine sufferers and increased stroke?
It's very controversial. And no.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, when you say controversial, that means some people think there is?
Some people think there is, but migraine aura, that's the one we worry about, the potential risk for stroke. And then we found out some patients that have conditions that predispose to clots and other things. But from what I've read, there is no clear link if you get migraines, we'll get more stroke. Mm-hmm.
We're talking headaches today and migraines with Dr. Hita Nirenberg and Dr. Kirthana Kumar of New Vance Health. And a couple, two more emails, and then we'll go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. This is from Laura. Following up on the Elavil discussion, I have been on Elavil for migraines for over 15 years. It has been remarkably successful. Is there a risk to its long-term use? I've had no side effects so far.
You said it right.
Did I?
Yes, you said it right.
That's
yes.
A first.
Usually, sometimes you have to be careful with Elavil because it can cause some cardiac abnormalities. And I see it, that's a contraindication for it. I tell patients if they're stable and getting frequent migraines after a period of 1 to 2 years, we can start tapering off the preventive medication. I see. Pre-pandemic times, I would say, everybody like that. I would say, okay, let's try to come off the medication. Now I changed a little bit. I would tell patients, do you feel like you're ready to come off? Because in the early pandemic days, every patient that was stable, that I said, life is normal. Let's try to taper off everybody that was doing well. And then the migraines became worse. So it's
That's so interesting. Yeah. So in a way that the pandemic, it changed so many things, but it sort of changed the way you approach work, at least on a short-term basis.
Yes, I tell patients, if you feel ready, we have this conversation. Sometimes patients don't want don't want to like rock the boat and stay. I'm like, okay, we'll keep having this discussion and all that. And patients say, oh, well, I feel like I'm ready to come off. And sometimes some people with something like Elavil, it can cause side effects also as weight gain. So that's another concern. So we got to worry about the side effects. And
so you're nice to your patients. Are you this nice to the fellows and all your interns and such?
Yes.
Really?
Tell me. I like to be honest.
It's a good political answer there, Kirthan. All right. One more email, then back to the phones. 800-348-2551. What is your opinion? Oh, gosh, these are words. Transcutaneous stimulation devices.
They can work really well. There's a lot of evidence. They're FDA approved for a lot of headache conditions. So they are a good option. Some of them can be expensive, and insurance doesn't usually cover them. So that can be a challenge for most people. But for people who can afford them, they're a great option.
What about infusion therapy?
It depends. So there are some medications. One of the newer migraine medications is an infusion every 3 months. It's very effective for some patients. We do infusions when patients are in a status migrainosis. That's when we do the infusion to help break the cycle.
Yeah.
And the complex chronic migraine patients that are refractory, that's when they will benefit from the infusion treatments and that. Another interesting thing for the devices, like the veterans, they can now have access to most of them, which is good.
That is
at least
good news.
One option. And I became a headache specialist because my clinic in residency was in the VA, so I got to see a lot of patients with headaches.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned cycles, and I think we've talked about this before. Don't quote me on this, but I think we've talked about this before. Have studies been done as to the chronological cycle of someone's migraines? Can you predict them? Say, okay, well, every fall I'm going to get at least one, and it's coming.
So yes, there like recently this past March, the American Academy of Neurology released like a large meta-analysis study with and essentially found that most migraines, about 70%, had a seasonal pattern or which. Just to say that they had increased frequency during like 9 months of the year.
Interesting.
But that varied between people.
But they don't know why?
They found that the hypothesis was there might be a circadian link.
Ah, interesting. All right, well, get back to us on that. You'll be back again next year, I'm sure. Dr. Hita Nirenberg and Dr. Kirthan Akumar joins us. It's headaches today, migraines and whatnot. Let's go to Jim in Matamoros. Jim, you're on.
Did the smoke in the air last summer generate more headaches than normal?
Good afternoon, Jim. Yes, I saw a lot of patients complaining about the headaches during the smoke period.
And what does the smoke do?
Probably irritates some arteries in the brain.
And maybe releases carbon monoxide.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Jim, you want to follow up?
No, that's okay. Thanks.
Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. John writes in, considering how dangerous it is, how can one tell the difference between the bad headache associated with an aneurysm and just an ordinary migraine?
Oh, we were talking about this on the way here. So an aneurysm, so it's what we call causes a thunderclap headache, which is a headache that peaks very quickly, like somebody hit you in the back of the head within seconds. Migraines are more slow growing and over time. Thunderclap headaches, also people get other symptoms like more confusion. So anytime I have a severe headache like this, and the classic term they use, worst headache of my life, I always tell patients that you should go to the hospital right away.
Huh. Will anything else cause these thunderclap headaches?
There are a lot of conditions that could, like vascular conditions and primary headache disorders. So there are a lot of things that could.
So another condition that can cause it, there's another condition called RCVS. It's reversible cerebral vasoconstriction syndrome, and it's related to high blood pressure, that the arteries like kind of narrow and expand, and it can cause brain bleeds. Other ones, vasculitis, which is inflammation of the arteries. So usually they present with vascular headaches. Usually if people are having this quickly, getting sicker, you get vomiting. I always counsel patients that have migraines that something gets off, feels off their usual, go to the hospital.
Really?
Which I rarely send patients to the hospital, but this is a...
You work at a hospital.
I do work in a hospital, yes. So.
Don't you want them to come? All right, this is from Judy. Judy writes, my doctor started me on a statin for high cholesterol at the end of September. Almost immediately, bad side effects began, including getting headaches, which I never get. After a few weeks, I stopped that medication, and the side effects went away. The doctor put me on a different statin. Everything seemed to be going well for several weeks, but a few days ago, the headaches returned, but no other side effects. I didn't take the medication yesterday, and today no headache. Is it possible that the second drug caused the headaches, even though I had been taking it for several weeks with no side effects? That's a tough one to pin down.
It's certainly possible, but it's hard to say for sure. It's not one of like the common side effects for statin medications. But usually if you do have side effects from one statin, you would switch to a different one. And usually the side effects subside.
Yeah, usually the most common is myalgias and muscle aches. But headaches, if you look at most medications, if you look at the side effect list, headache is one of them.
May cause headaches.
So everything is possible.
The email address here is voxpop@wamc.org. The phone number is 800-348-2551. If you have a question about headaches and or migraines for Dr. Hita Nirenberg and Dr. Kirthana Kumar of New Vance Health, this email from Rob. I sometimes get headaches the day after winning a local golf tournament, but other lucky, I do have a friend who gets headaches ever since having COVID three times, some episodes lasting up to a week. COVID-related or could COVID have triggered something?
So we are seeing a lot of headaches after COVID, and we still don't know a lot about them. And I've seen a variety of migraine, sometimes tension headaches. Other patients, there are rare headaches. There's one rare one called hemicrania that I ever so often I've seen it. When I had some of my patients with migraines that ever got COVID, I thought, oh my God, you're going to have severe migraines after that. And it's so, and they're doing fine. So it's, everything is a mix of headache.
Mm-hmm. Since the pandemic, we've seen no up or down in the overall number of migraine cases coming across your desk?
I haven't seen the recent statistics, but I'm sure they have increased for sure.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. By the way, I think Rob just tried to sneak in that he's a good golfer. All right, Rob, good job. this email from, it's a long email from Olivia. All right. Hopefully the show won't be over by the time I'm done. I was ill the last week of October. I assumed it was just fighting off viral infections going around. I have three kids, two of which go to school. The other is a toddler. My symptoms were fatigue, loss of voice, chills without fever, and sensitivity to light, obviously loud noise, and left ear discomfort. November rolled around, and I was still fighting a headache that lasted all day. 600 milligrams ibuprofen didn't touch it, and light sensitivity. On the first Sunday of November, I woke up and felt like it was finally gone. Had relations, and then after was hit with the sharp ice pick through the left eye feeling and nausea and chills without vomiting or fever. Worked with that feeling all day and went to bed. Woke up Tuesday with a tender left side of neck, but no other symptoms and thought I was in the clear finally. Unfortunately, that night I was at the gym doing some triceps pushdowns on equipment, taking it slow, not lifting any excess weight, and I was hit with the most intense headache at the base of my skull that was like being hit with a board to the back of the head. I crouched in fetal position and held my head and could not see with opened eyes. It was like being underwater and then turned to black specks. This lasted about 4.5 minutes of the worst pain of my life. I went to the doctor the next day. They took some blood work, scheduled an MRI to rule out an aneurysm. The MRI was clear, blood work good, but I still have been suffering from headache on left side of head, sometimes with the ice pick feeling, sometimes with pain behind the ear, sometimes just a headache, but consistently almost daily, it's affecting my sleep and time with kids and work. I had the doctor check ear for infections, but they found no sign or irritation. They gave me a steroid and nasal spray, but it's been over a week and still no resolve. Can you help? What should I do? I have no history of migraines in the past, and my eyes were thoroughly examined prior to illness in October. I have been caffeine-free for 2 months prior to illness, as well as I have also been pushing fluids to rule out dehydration, but the headaches continue. Look forward to your response. That's from Olivia. Have at it. I'm going to take a nap after that.
Definitely, she should... Or he or she.
Olivia.
She should definitely get help with, if possible, a headache specialist locally. That website I mentioned, that they have lists, because there are headaches with exertion. Relations would say exercise. When I have patients with their children, we say that. But it can be high-pressure headaches. Usually after infections, virus, we worry more that it could be like a viral meningitis. Usually people tend sicker. They need to go to the hospital because without treatment, they get very severe.
Yeah.
Bacterial meningitis, without antibiotics, so it's very, very dangerous. But definitely get checked. I would add, instead of the MRI, look at the arteries as well. We were talking about vascular component thunderclap. There is a rare type of headache, hemicrania continua, usually one-sided. People get other symptoms, tearing, runny nose. The treatment is actually the very same treatment as we use for the exertional headaches, which can be coughing headache and other, like, I had a patient when I was in Virginia that was an opera singer, and every time she sang, it was like an explosion on her head. And
isn't that a sign of something really that could be very bad, circulatory or otherwise?
Not necessarily. There is, like, reports of these headaches happening with no explanation, but we need to rule out secondary causes always.
We have a few minutes left here with Dr. Hita Nirenberg and Dr. Kirthana Kumar. Number's 800-348-2551. But Olivia's problem seems terrible. I mean, she went literally blind for portions of that time. Is that a common thing?
It can happen. With the exertional, with these headaches can be very severe as well. The medication we tend to use is indomethacin, and sometimes it's diagnostic for some type of headaches. And so the arthritis medication used for gout, so I haven't heard the full history for how they figure out this can work for some headaches, but I always think, oh, it's somebody that had arthritis that had these headaches that took the indomethacin and it works. But definitely she should get more in-depth on the primary gut help.
And what are electroceuticals again?
There are devices that help for the acute or prevention treatment of migraine. They're usually electrical stimulation. So there's one that is in the called remote electrical neuromodulation. That is a arm stimulus that triggers signals that go to the brain and prevent migraine. Other ones, there's a trigeminal, which is on the front. There's one that is a transcranial magnetic stimulation, so it's on the back. Mm-hmm.
Are these all in shop, or can people have this outpatient at home?
There's only one that people can get it and buy without a prescription. I don't want to say brand names, but it's a forehead device. The other ones, they need doctor prescription. And
used outpatient.
They are used outpatient.
Used outpatient, yes.
Do they know exactly how they work, why they work?
They stimulate different nerves for the most part. Like either one of them is a vagal nerve stimulator, the other one is a remote one of them does electromagnetic stimulation for the brain. Mm-hmm. Other one works on the trigeminal nerve, so they stimulate the nerves.
But why does stimulating that nerve help?
Because they send feedbacks to the brain, and they send feedback loops because the nerves are like circuits, and the pain signals involved in migraine, it's a wiry loop that the stimulation here sends that feedback to block the signals in the brain.
So you're blocking the pain, but not the actual malady is still there, but you just don't feel it?
Something like that.
Something like that. All right. All right. Well, we only have about 30 seconds here. Dr. Nirenberg, how do people find you online? Do we have that URL?
It's very easy. Like if you for my New Vents Health, they can find me there.
And the headache medicine. And how long does your fellowship last, Dr. Kirthana Kumar?
1 year. It's 1 year.
How far are you in?
Almost 6 months.
You're having fun.
I am. Yeah, it's been great.
All right.
She got to come here. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's got to be a high point of the old career right there, right? Quickly here, we only have 30 seconds left. This email came in from Cecilia. I was sick for a week, COVID negative, had a coughing fit, caused a severe headache that dissipated overnight but lasted for almost a week. I saw that there's such a thing as cough headache. We just talked about that. Mm-hmm. Should Cecilia follow up in any way?
Definitely should get checked, but it's definitely similar mechanism. Like I mentioned, the opera singer, the exertion is, if you think of the brain of a cavity, it's like something irritating the outer layers of the brain that are innervated by the trigeminal nerve, which is the main nerve involving headaches and migraines.
Well, this was fun. Mm-hmm. This was fun. Thank you both for being here. Support comes from Dr. John Shen, specializing in endoscopic spine surgery and disc regeneration, treating disc herniations, spinal stenosis, admyelopathy, envisionspinesurgery.com for details. Once again, thanks to Dr. Hita Nirenberg and Dr. Kirthana Kumar for joining us. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the calls. Thanks to Rob Chacon, who's been working here since about 5 a.m. And it's almost time for Happy Nappy, Rob. Thanks to Amber Sickles for screening the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, Rich Guthrie and Julie Hart join us. We will talk birds with you. We'll see you at 2:00.